Well, now I get to see what it's like up here. Okay, enough of that.
Thank you very much.
Nice short. We can get home early now, you know. Hold it up closer. Okay. Rather than do a joke, because, you know, that's the expertise of the rabbi, I'm going to do a little jingle here before I start my teaching. It's called Countdown, or Building Up. 10 little congregation members came to worship all the time. One fell out with the rabbi, then there were 9. 9 little congregation members stayed up late. 1 overslept, then there were 8. 8 congregation members on their way to heaven. 1 took the low road, and now there are 7. 7 congregation members all chirping like chicks. 1 didn't like the music, now there are 6. 6 congregation members seemed very much alive, but 1 got travelitis. Now there are 5. 5 congregation members pulling for heaven's shore. 1 tired and got disgruntled. This left 4. 4 congregation members, busy as can be, but 1 got his feelings hurt, and now there are 3. 3 congregation members, and the story's almost done, for 2 of them got weary, and this left 1. Now everybody knows that 1 can't do much, but 1 brought a friend last month, and now there are 2. 2 congregation members, each 1 more. Now don't you see, 2 + 2 = 4. 4 congregation members worked early and late. Each 1 brought 1, and now there are 8. Have you got the message, pointed and true? Come on, folks, we've got a job to do. For you see, these 8 congregation members, if they double as before, in just 7 weeks would be 1,024. In this little jingle, there is a lesson true. You belong to 1, the building or the wrecking crew. And I do like the music here, by the way. Okay. What the teaching is going to be on here is that the Lord impressed me to teach about weapons. With everything that's going on and everything else, I figured we'll kind of just change things up. So we're going to teach about different weapons and how to use them and stuff. So if I can have the first slide. So we're going to learn how to use a knife today. Okay, nice close combat. You know, boy, look at the faces, the way they're looking at me. Well, I'm just getting started. But some people might say that's a little bit messy, you know. So what we'll do is we'll go on to the next slide. Bow and arrow. Now there you go. You're not up close. It's not as messy. You know what I mean? And you got plenty of arrows. And no? Okay. How about the next one? There we go. Now you either got close range or you got long range. So this is pretty good so far, right? We can learn how to use weapons and everything else, you know, in a congregation. No? Okay. Let's see what the scripture says. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal. Well, okay, it says not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So it's not carnal weapons after all. It's not using a knife. It's not using a bow and arrow. It's not using a gun. That's not how we fight our battle. It's like when you're at home, and you know, like during the summertime, you have that pesky fly. I don't mean just a little. I'm talking about the dive bomber. You know, the dive bomber. What do? You got to get a weapon. So you go get your handy feather. And you say, I'm going to get that fly. Where's that fly? I'm going to get that fly. And you're chasing that fly all over the place. Now, maybe the fly will die because it laughs at you so hard. But then again, we know this really isn't going to work. So we get our super water blaster and we go after that fly, because I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm not going to let that fly keep me up one more time. People are still laughing. I don't understand it. You've never tried this before? Okay, so I guess that's not the right weapon. The fly swatter. The right weapon is what you need. Now, in the Word of God, it talks about the sword. And a lot of people have talked about the sword as a weapon, which... That's a whole other teaching there. If we can go back to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Oh, he's got it up there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We need the right weapon for the spiritual battle. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is great to use. But there's other things that people don't really think are weapons. Let's see if I can have, yep, there we go. One mighty weapon that people don't realize is prayer, because prayer pulls down strongholds. There's power in prayer. Now, corporate prayer, there's more power, but your own individual prayer is powerful. Never underestimate your power in prayer. You may be one person, but you know what? There was one person that prayed before there was a great revival here. And if I can have the next slide there. In James 5:15 and 16, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, a righteous man, you know, we were talking about the pastor, the rabbi. It's you got to be somebody special. No, you don't. You are the righteousness of Yeshua. Each and every single one of you, you have that power in your prayer. Don't underestimate the power in your prayer just because you don't have a title as being a rabbi. I got water here. Thank you. What should we pray about? Well, I think there's only certain things we should pray about. You know, maybe make a list and cross out some things. Say, no, I shouldn't pray about that. No, I should. Yeah, this is a good one. I'll circle this one. I'll pray about this one later on. I really like this one. No, no. Pray about the different things that the Lord lays on your heart. Even the little things. The little things the Lord is concerned about. It doesn't have to be the big, major thing. Maybe you need a mortgage payment or something like that. Maybe it's a small thing you need, like a loaf of bread. Whatever it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, just for a little testimony, the other day I was working out in the yard, and I was getting wood and stuff ready for the winter season, and it's like kindling wood. Well, kindling wood, I take wood, I saw 2x4s and stuff, real short. Then I take an axe and I split them. It's really hard on your back. So I'm looking around saying, you know, I don't have hardly any kindling wood, Lord. I mean, I'd love to just find some kindling wood, you know, so make it easy on me. Well, Thursday, the day after I was thinking about it, on the way back from home from work, what do I find? 9 banana boxes of kindling wood. He cares about the little things, too. And if I can hit the next slide. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Take everything to the Lord. It doesn't matter how small you think it is. He cares about it. He counts every hair on your head. And for some of us, it's really getting easier and easier. Notice I didn't talk about anybody else sitting back there. I don't know if I can have the next slide. He cares about the little things. In Matthew 6:26, it says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And in Matthew 10:29-31, are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, it's amazing is that sparrows, now you think about it, in the wintertime, where do they get their food? If you look up in trees, there's certain trees that the berries are still there. There's still food, even in the middle of wintertime. And a lot of the trees, it's not until the spring, when the new buds come, that the different seeds fall off the tree. So God's provided, even away in the wintertime, for a sparrow to have food. So if he's done that, how much more can he provide for whatever need you have? And then there's always, how long should you pray for? Well, I've heard, you know, people say, well, you got to pray till you get breakthrough. Well, yeah, that's one way of praying. But it can be also a short prayer. I mean, Jesus just said, Lazarus, come forth. Wasn't very long. Now, yes, he prayed beforehand about that, but sometimes it just takes a short prayer. But then other times, there's those ones where you have to get into, like Judith would say, in a time of intercession. You have to really take that burden on and take it to the Lord and pray about it. You may need wisdom, guidance, understanding. So some people say, well, you know, you don't have to always pray a long time. Seek the Lord on your prayer time. It may just be like, you know, a quick, easy prayer, and the Lord hears and it's answered. Then again, you may have to take it to him for wisdom, guidance, understanding. You may have to pray the prayer of agreement with somebody else. And if I can have the next slide there. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain and continued all night in prayer to God. There are those times where intercession, where you do have to pray all night. You do have to pray through. If there's a loved one in the hospital, you're not going to walk in and say a two-second prayer. You love that person. You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to pray all night long for that person. Prayer is a weapon. It's pulled down strongholds. It's a weapon that I know a lot of people don't really use. It's like they think, well, you know, the prayer team will pray. Well, you know what? You got that weapon. Are you using that weapon of prayer? There is no space in prayer also. You don't have to always, you know, physically lay hands on somebody. The word does say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you don't have to always lay hands on somebody. There was a brother several years ago. His name was Harry, and he was here in Rochester. His wife was in New York City. She had been diagnosed with what was called spider cancer. It's a real fast cancer. In other words, they diagnose it, and you've got a very short time to live, and there's nothing they can do. They can try the chemo and everything else, and it's really, really fast. Well, he was here, she was there, so we said, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Well, but that's New York City. We're not laying hands on her. We're not touching her. How can we lay hands on her when she's over there? In the spirit, there's no distance. It doesn't matter if they're on the other side of the world. When you pray, it's done. Now, you're probably wondering how that turned out. She's still alive and well, and it's been 20 years later. The doctors have no idea what happened. She went back in for a rescan because they wanted to tell her how much closer her time was, and then they said, well, this is unheard of. It's not there. They double-checked the slides from before, and they're like, well, there's no way this could be. We know there is a way. And like I say, they've gone through Rima Bible College. Now they're living in California. He's preaching the word. God is faithful. Now, what weapon goes along with prayer? Sometimes fasting is needed, either a personal fast or a corporate fast. And if I can have the next slide. In Ezra 8:21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. We need to seek the Lord. Maybe you need a corporate fast. Maybe you need your brother and sister to agree on something because it's something so big and powerful, you know, a decision that he's like, well, you know, I can fast myself, but let's have a corporate fast. Let's get the prayer team. Let's all fast about this. Then also in Mark 9:28-30, and when he had come into the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Fasting changes you. It's not something where, well, I fast, so God's got to move now. Fasting will change you. Fasting helps you to become the man or the woman of God that God wants us to be. You can pray for strategy. Your mind is clearer when you're fasting. Sometimes people are so concerned about you getting supper ready and different things like that, that they're not spending that quality time with the Lord. And what about faith? Did you ever think about faith as a weapon? Faith. Never thought about faith being a weapon. And faith is a shield. So you're saying, well, okay, how can it be, you know, faith is a weapon? Well, Ephesians 6:16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, above all, do you think there's a reason they put in there above all to take that shield of faith? But then again, faith is a weapon. So I got to thinking, well, I'm going to go to Google. I looked it up. Well, I learned a lot about shields. In the olden days, they used to actually take them as a weapon, and they would use the shield, okay, because if the sword gets taken out of your hand, or maybe you don't have the scripture that's popping up, I notice that you don't have it, but you got the shield of faith still. Well, you can take that shield, you can bash the enemy. I'm talking about not your neighbor, I'm talking about the devil. just so you understand. The shield can be used also besides that to continually strike. They used to actually drive the enemy back by continually striking and striking and striking them and pushing them back and pushing them back. Use that shield of faith, not just once, over and over and over. When the devil comes back with the same thing, say, no, you don't, no, you don't, no, you don't. Keep bashing them back. Amen. Then they used to also, and this is kind of amazed me, they used to have, the Roman soldiers had like a round shield, a smaller one, and they used to actually literally throw the shield. Almost like a frisbee, they would throw the shield at the enemy, and then they would go back over and pick them up. And I'm amazed at that. You know what? What about our faith? Well, do we have to be right there with them? No. We can throw our faith clear across the country. We can throw our faith out there. But are we throwing our faith in the enemy's face? Are we using our weapon of faith? Another thing the shield was used for was to literally stop the enemy. They had a different shield, another one. This was like a full body shield. It was like 4 or 5 feet tall. And they would actually hold that and they would stop the enemy. So if you can't do anything else, you hold up that shield of faith and you just stop the enemy. He's not going to get any more ground. I got my faith right here. You're not going anywhere. You're standing right there. That's it. You're not going to advance anymore. Yeah, the next slide. Let's see. Yep, he's got up. In Ephesians 6, 12 through 14, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't back down. No matter what the devil says, no matter what the circumstances are, if you're standing in faith, you stand in faith. Well, it's been 3 days now. Maybe God's got to do some things. Maybe he's got to, you know, rearrange some stuff. Well, it's been 30 days. Maybe somebody else has got to change. Maybe there's something's going on out there. Well, it's been 3 years. Stand in faith. Don't give away to the enemy. Stand in faith. Then the other one that I liked, and this one's a really good one, is they actually would take and build like a wall, okay? So you have like a whole bunch of people standing here in faith with their shield, and there's like a march they used to do, and they would push the enemy back. Yeah, think about that. Why just stand there and say, okay, let's push the enemy back? You know what? We're going to take back the enemy that he stole, the ground the enemy stole from us. You can push the enemy back. All power and authority is given to you in Yeshua. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Love, love, a weapon? Let's see, let all be done with love. That's kind of wishy-washy. But yet, in the New Testament alone, depending on the translation, love is listed just in the New Testament 236 times. Must be something about walking in love. Use love, not anger, to win a fight. When someone comes at you and they're angry, use a soft-spoken word back at them. When I was working in a factory, there was a gentleman there who, he woke up angry. I think he just came work just to yell at me. And he used to always get yelling at me about, you know, the line and the production, the assembly line, and, oh, you're not going fast enough. And we made our quota, and I did my work. But he just liked yelling at me. Well, what it was is he was not a believer. He knew I was a believer, so he kept attacking me. The long story short was there was people watching this. And I used to treat him with love, And I'd get him coffee and stuff like that. And he'd get mad at me and throw the coffee away because he didn't want my coffee. That's okay. I still walked in love. What happened? One lady says, you know what? You encouraged me. You ready? She said, I started going back to church. Not the same one I was going to. But she saw something in me, that love, that she went back to her church and started attending church again. Another brother came to me. It was the same thing. He says, you know, he says, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for years. He goes, but I'm just not right. He goes, I've fallen away. He goes, my wife, my children. I says, he said, I haven't even brought my children to church. And his kids were like 8 or 10 years old. So he'd been out of church for a long time. He says, but you know what? He says, the way you stood up to him, he said, if it was me, I would have clocked him one. He says, you just put up with all the stuff. He goes, and you know what? I'm going to start going back to church. And this gentleman did start going back to church. So now there's him, his wife, and the two children, and this other woman that I know of. Who knows what else? Why? I use the weapon of love. When someone comes to you, and they come to you with harsh words, love on them. In Romans 12, 19 through 21, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Walk in love. How many ways can you walk in love? Grocery store, helping somebody carry out their groceries. There's so many ways that we can walk in love each and every day. And the next slide. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8a and verse 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Use love as a weapon against the enemy. Even this day, you may be able to use that love. Love on them when they come at you in anger, whether it's a family member or someone in a store. It could even be a family member that comes against you. Not that that would ever happen. But when it does, you know what? Love on them. Love on them. And if it's a person or a coworker, you don't know what kind of a day that person's going through. You know what? They may be angry and nasty, and you're the symbol. They're taking it out on you. You know, hey, brother, hey, sister, can I pray for you? You know, what's the issue here? You know, I'll take it to the Lord in prayer for you. Love on them. But I tell you this, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. That doesn't physically mean if someone's going to walk up and slap you on the cheek. They can slap you on the cheek with words that hurt a lot worse. You can use some or all of the fruits of the spirits as your weapons. Now, there's different weapons also that I'm not going to go into, like a shofar, for instance. But not everybody has a shofar. Flags, dancing. There's a lot of things that we can use as weapons besides the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, worship. Galatians 5:23-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those are all weapons. If you walk in peace and people see that, it's going to draw them to you. Say, well, there's something about that brother. I need to go talk to that sister. Why are they, everything is going, they should be all the world, but they're at peace. Why? That's a weapon against the enemy. Not against that person. It's a spiritual weapon. The devil doesn't want us walking in peace with everything going on. He wants us all, no, we got peace. The Lord will give you that peace. Boy, it's quiet in here. Yeah, there you go. And then there's joy. And I don't mean joy as a person's name either. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow. Well, do not sorrow, then what's that mean? That means that the joy of the Lord is your strength. But how do you get the joy of the Lord? You seek the Lord continually. Are you feeling sad? You feeling beat up, depressed, down and out, like you got run over by a truck recently? And they backed up and did it a couple more times? I heard a couple yeses out there. Isaiah 61:3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Use the joy of the Lord. Put on praise music. Praise the Lord. Do some dancing. Do whatever it takes. Take the garment. Put the garment on. Now, for a little example, and I'm not sure how many people know, but does anybody know like Eeyore? Eeyore sounds familiar? Yeah? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, okay. Well, you may start out that way, but you know, but you want to know what the Lord really wants?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Woo-hoo! That works. That works.
So how are you going to praise the Lord? Like Eeyore? Does that count for dancing? Okay, now we go on to Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Why would it say sacrifice? Because I'm going through a lot. I don't want to praise the Lord. You don't understand. You haven't gone through what I'm going through. Sacrifice of praise. Try it. I've done it. Wow, it works. Continually? Wait a minute. How long is continually? You mean no matter what's going on and how tired I am, I got to praise the Lord? Don't you understand? I just worked a 12-hour day. Don't you understand? Praise the Lord. You don't have to jump around all the time. You can praise the Lord different ways. You can sit there, sitting down and singing in a chair, praising the Lord. What about when things are going well? Yeah, it's real easy to praise the Lord. I just got a check in the mail for $10,000. I didn't know it was coming. Praise the Lord, yeah. I just got a bill and my mortgage rate is going up $400. Praise the Lord. Continually in all things. We need to walk more by faith and not by our feelings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. It doesn't mean for everything. Some things may happen. It's not for everything. In everything. Because we don't know the circumstances behind what's going on. And maybe we're going through this because it's like the onion effect. Something has to be peeled off of me. Okay, I'm going to cry. I'm going to get upset. But then there's that healing time. Okay, but you know what? You have to be thankful for the things that the Lord counts you worthy of going through. Maybe he's working in you. Maybe somebody's watching you, like the gentleman I used to work with. We don't know what's going on in the spirit realm. So in everything, give thanks. And then another one that we were talking about earlier was peace. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. When the enemy tries to steal your peace, keep your eyes on the Lord. Whatever you're going through, whatever the enemy's throwing at you, it doesn't matter what it is, keep your eyes focused on the Lord. There's different things that can come across in your life that can steal your peace, and you can have anxiety, and you can get frustrated, and it's like, you know, I never lose my peace. I always say, no, I repent for lying now. You can lose your peace. And you know what? The thing is, what do you do afterwards? What do you do after you blow up? What do you, oh, that guy cut me off in front of me. Oh, how could he do that? Well, you say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for it. And you seek the Lord again to get your peace back. Don't stay in that attitude of anxiety for hours and days or weeks. Take it right back to the Lord. Get that peace back. The devil doesn't want you walking at peace. And of course, there's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, that's a powerful tool as well. Now, something else with that is it's not just, it's an offensive and a defensive weapon. A lot of people talk about, you know, you take the sword of the Spirit, but you know what? You can use the Word of God to block things from happening. If you're in a sword fight, they'll actually use it not just as an attack, but as blocking. So when the enemy comes at you, are you using that weapon to block him? Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In closing, I just want to ask you, are you using your weapons? Are you using a feather when you know what the right weapon is? I just pray that you seek the Lord on whatever spiritual battle you go through and you use the right weapon. And above all, just walk in love. In Yeshua's name I pray.